This is Express FM.
Supported by Highbury College. We are passionately pumping.
Jamal Lowe's onside. The flag stayed down. Jamal Lowe, nonchalant, brilliant. Pompey will be promoted at this rate.
Cheltenham Town, that'll stick in my mind forever.
Pure, unadulterated Pompey.
You can't be involved with this football club and not be emotional. The club is special.
Action and reaction.
It's an exciting challenge. I'm proud to be the manager of Portsmouth.
Giving Pompey fans a voice.
The whole stadium erupted singing Play Up Pompey. It was a surreal moment.
To do it with a club like Portsmouth was just incredible. That was the reason why I joined the club.
This is the Football Hour.
The one team that stands out, that's historic, that's had great success, that has a fan base that is amazingly passionate, is Portsmouth.
Momentum may be starting to settle in at Pompey, who advanced through to the knockout stages of the EFL Trophy for a fourth consecutive season in midweek.
Marquis steps up with his right foot and scores, rolling it into the bottom corner. And Portsmouth take the lead here at Southend. It's John Marquis.
John Marquis netting from 12 yards to bag his first goal since the League Cup win at Stevenage in August, before a delightful double from the returning Ronan Curtis.
25 yards out, shoots from distance, finds the bottom corner. Second goal of the game for Ronan Curtis. Had options left and right, wanted to go for the shot.
The Blues have now confirmed their place in the round of 32 of the competition, all with a game to spare as well. Up next, however, is a return to where it really matters, League One. Milton Keynes make the journey down tomorrow afternoon for match day 5 of the new domestic season. And as always, we're asking you back home to get involved with the conversation this evening. Should Kenny make changes from last week's win over Burton? Is it time for Rasmus Nicolaisen to come in for Sean Raggett? And do you truly believe that Pompey need a central midfielder, or have we enough options already within the squad? Text your name and message starting with the word Express to 81400. Email Pompey at expressfm.com. Tweet using at expressfm, or find us at facebook.com/PompeyLive to get in touch. So stick around, lock yourselves in to 93.7 FM. Because it's that time of the week once again. A very warm welcome to you all to the Friday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Football Hour here on Express FM, your home of every Pompey game, home or away, rain or shine, league or cup. Rest assured, we've got you covered, and even more so during these times of uncertainty. And without the means of supporters joining us at the games, this is also the place to be. If you want your thoughts and questions put across to the rest of the fan base, the Football Hour is here twice a week, every week, to bring you the latest Blues debate and discussion, with thanks to Stagecoach across for South for supporting the show. On the way tonight, I'll be bringing two supporters into the conversation to go over the events of Pompey's past week, which has seen two away trips in both league and trophy. We'll also be weighing up Kenny's options in midfield, debating who should start in defence next time out, and looking ahead to tomorrow's game at home to MK. As always, Pompey fans, we want to hear from you. You have between now and 7 o'clock to get your thoughts and predictions into the panel. To get in touch, simply text your name and message, starting with the word Express, to 81400. Email Pompey at expressfm.com, include at expressfm within your tweets, or find us on Facebook, facebook.com/PompeyLive. But before we get into any of that, it's time to take a recap of the Blues' most recent fixture. Kenny Jackett made 10 changes to the side, who beat Burton Albion by 4-2 at the weekend, with only Ryan Williams retaining his place in the starting 11 for Pompey's trip to Roots Hall. Commentary of the midweek EFL Trophy group stage tie between Southend United and Portsmouth came live from Andy Moon and Guy Whittingham.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
A wonderful goal!
Every second of the action is right here.
Shoots and scores!
90 minutes of passionately Pompey commentary.
He's gone!
This is...
You wouldn't believe it!
Pompey Live.
There have been many days already this season when you just long for a crowd to be allowed inside a stadium to witness what was going to unfold. Perhaps tonight's spectacle, not necessarily one that automatically falls in that category. But tonight, a good opportunity for some of Portsmouth's fringe players to make a point at one of the EFL's crisis clubs, both on and off the pitch. Williams to Ben Close. Ben Close can hit one from here. He has it, and he struck it well, but wide of the post. And it is a goal kick to Southend, 0-0. But now Pompey on the counter-attack. Williams, if he looks up, Marquis was away and through. Williams doesn't, though. He keeps going into the area. He's going to shoot himself and saved by the legs of Oxley, and the loose ball is going to be cleared away. Marquis tries a crossfield ball looking for Minoga. Minoga in the penalty area goes down. That must be a penalty kick, and it is. Minoga wins a penalty. He got between ball and man. He was clearly tripped, and Portsmouth have the opportunity to take the lead here in the 20th minute. Marquis steps up with his right foot and scores, rolling it into the bottom corner, and Portsmouth take the lead here at Southend. It's John Marquis putting the ball into the back of the net for his second of the season. Southend 0, Portsmouth 1. Oh, Williams wins the ball high up and drives into the area, lays it off for Marquis. Great chance for Marquis. Good save from Oxley with his legs. He'll feel he should have scored that. Out for a throw. Curtis now driving forward. Curtis middle of the pitch. Curtis shoots from distance, deflected into the net. Wicked deflection off Richard Taylor. Gave the goalkeeper absolutely no chance from 25 yards out. There was good pace in the shot from Curtis. I'm not sure it had beaten the goalkeeper, but the deflection meant the only place it was going to end up was the back of the net. And 5 minutes to the interval, it is Southend 0, Portsmouth 2. Pring into the near post. Lovely cross from Pring. Minoga! Oh, he's put it wide. Minoga can't believe it. What a chance for a first senior goal, and it's wide. Curtis, one way than the other, to the dead ball line, standing it up to the far post. Coming in, it's Pring. How has he missed that? What a chance for Pring. Somehow he's put that across the face of goal. He won't get a better opportunity for his first Portsmouth goal. 2-0 and cleared away. Curtis to drive forward. He's got Marquis to his left. Curtis 25 yards out. Shoots from distance. Finds the bottom corner. Second goal of the game for Ronan Curtis. Had options left and right. Wanted to go for the shot. And he found the bottom corner with precision. It's Southend 0, Portsmouth 3. Final whistle goes here at Roots Hall. Portsmouth have beaten Southend United by 3-0. They are through to the knockout stages of the EFL Trophy.
Every second of the action is right here. This is 93.7 Express FM. Pompey Live.
The highlights there of Pompey's 3-0 win over Southend United on Tuesday night. So it was 3 goals and 3 points for the Blues, who advanced through to the knockout stages of the competition for the fourth season in a row as a result of that victory. I'd like to welcome in onto the show now a man who joined me in Southend earlier this week, Mr. Ryan Stillwell. Ryan, a very good evening to you, sir. Like myself, are you still feeling the effects of that horrible journey back?
It was a weird little night. We actually did the entire M25, every single mile of it. So on the way there, we had to take the south sort of southern circuit or southern semicircular bit of the M25 there. And then due to roadworks on the way back, we took the other side of it. So it was an interesting evening to do a lot of travelling for what was ultimately a trophy group stage game. But it was character building.
Yeah. Also, I want to ask you as well, because we spoke prior to that game about the fact that it may serve as a bit of a distraction for Pompey, coming at an awkward time following Saturday's first league victory of the season at Burton. But now that's happened and a win has come of it, have you changed your view on that? Do you agree that actually the win over Southend may further boost the momentum ahead of this weekend's game?
I'm not necessarily sure the win in itself would have changed much. What actually enthused me during the week against Southend was the fact that we tried something new. There's been a lot of criticism for the players and the manager over recent months, which some of it's come from ourselves as well, that they're a bit stuck in the mud, unwilling to change, and there is no other plan. Tuesday, we saw an experiment. There's no other word for it. It was an experiment. It was something new. It's something we haven't seen before. The last time we tried a new system under Jacket was a 1-0 defeat against Rotherham back in 2017. You know, that's a long time without trying something entirely new. I think that in itself, you know, if you have a trophy game that comes just after an important league win such as Burton, I was thinking, I wanted another league game, but we actually made really good use of it. We tried something new, and there were some promising aspects to it. So I think going into the weekend, maybe that makes the players a little bit more fresh. Certainly the win helps, but I was very happy that we decided to to take the players we had and give them something else to work at, a new challenge, if you will.
Yeah, and it's been a hugely positive week overall, Ryan, hasn't it? Pompey securing their first league win of the season, as we mentioned on Saturday at Burton, and then made it through to the round 32 off the trophy just 3 days later at Southend. We just mentioned about how maybe that momentum may carry over, but in terms of the squad confidence, is that just what they needed heading into what is now a busy period of fixtures in October?
Well, on a very basic level, scoring goals breeds confidence. And on an even more basic level, if you score more goals than the other team, you win. It's a very Michael Owen thing to say, but it's something this team was sorely lacking in the earlier parts of September. You know, going three league games without a goal, if you include that Brighton game in there, we essentially went four games without a goal until Harrison scored later on against Wigan. You know, scoring seven goals in the space of half a week, it does keep players going, especially considering that a couple of what you'll call first teamers played against Southend, and essentially the rest of the first team was on the bench there. So that entire group will have been relieved, I imagine, to start finding the net more often to get that confidence going. So, yeah, it's been a while since we've been able to mention the greatest player in football history, Big Mo, momentum. And I think, you know, seven goals in a week heading into a home game against the struggling MK Dons, why not ride that? Why not see where that momentum can take you? So in the end, it did actually help. I wasn't sure about it at the time, but it did help, and I'm glad that we found a different way to win.
Yeah, and we mentioned after the show or after the game on Saturday, Ryan, about how that was. Well, Liam said it was 19 wins in a row in the competition, but I'd done a bit of digging. Do you know what? I knew I was right. It was 17 wins in a row. So I'm gonna tell him that tomorrow. But you should always listen to me. It was 17 wins in a row in the competition for Pompey, and over 1,000 days since they were last defeated at home to Chelsea under 21s in January 2018. And of course, within that run, we've won the trophy at Wembley. We've got to another final, which is yet to be played, and now we're back into the knockout stages of this season's competition. I know we've all got our critics of the format and of the competition, and I know everyone has the different opinions, but a win's a win, and that confidence in the squad, you know, we mentioned it football hour upon football hour, season upon season, but it carries over and it's proven to actually show through.
Well, of course it does, and I think what else has shown is the fact that sometimes there's been criticism in this trophy of we've taken it too seriously. I wouldn't necessarily say that's true. If you look at previous group stages, we've actually somewhat played a youth team out there. This is why when we actually won the trophy a couple of years ago, some of the players who played in the final gave their medals away because they didn't necessarily feel that they'd earned the right for it. I feel this season's a little bit different because the trophy games, one of them came before the start of the season. You know, one's come in a midweek just after a win. We want to try a new experiment. So this is why you're seeing a couple more first-teamers. I don't think you can say we've put too many of our eggs into the EFL trophy basket when you look at some of the players that have played and, you know, won games during this incredible run for Pompey. You think of names like Josh Flint, Brad Lethbridge, Matt Casey, Alfie Stanley, I think, may have played in one of them, Joe Hancock for another. You know, we've put most of the academy out in these games beforehand, and you can't shake your head at that. You know, a lot of the wins in that incredible 1,000-day run haven't come from what you would call the first team. They've come from the academy, and that attitude in this competition has shone right through. And yeah, maybe not the most prestigious win in the world, but again, a win's a win. When exactly are you going to turn a win down?
You wouldn't turn a win down on any occasion, would you? And you mentioned there a couple of academy graduates playing in kind of previous games for Pompey in the competition, especially in these group stages. And you mentioned also Pompey's first game off the season in this trophy competition this season against Colchester. It was a very strong side, and it was a relatively strong side against Southend on Tuesday night as well. Although it was 10 changes from the game at Burton, only Ryan Williams retaining his place within the squad. You had players such as John Marquis, Ronan Curtis, even Alex Bass between the sticks, who was Kenny's number one for half a season last term. It was actually a very strong side against the League Two side who are struggling at the foot of the table. So actually, we were expecting the victory despite the changes.
Yeah, I think when you've got the depth that we do now have, we were certainly struggling for depth at the start of the season in the sort of late August, early September period. But we've done well to bolster the defence since then. That's three signings alone at the back with a couple further forward. It has been an increasing month for this team, and it means that you can rotate your first team around to what is still almost a League One squad. That team that played on Tuesday at Southend, doesn't look out of place for League One. They could still do a job here. So, and obviously there were some first-teamers from the Burton game, but I think that's important. And what made it a bit more assuring was that Southend was the perfect game Tuesday, the way it played out, because you rotated so many of the players around, you tried a new system, you get to do it, you know, with no pressure at all, behind closed doors, essentially against the worst team in professional football in England. You know, some may be able to make that argument about Southend. It was the perfect game to try something new. But I said Tuesday, I'm not sure if I wanted this game right now. Mm. That was prior to being fully conscious of how we were going to treat that game. If we had not treated it as an experiment and just sort of a humdrum 90 minutes of football, I'd have probably stood my ground on that. But the way we used that game, we rotated almost the entire team out. We tried something new. It actually been quite useful for us. And Jackett's comments midweek about potentially using that system again, saying that some players made a good case for themselves on Tuesday night, and they did, certainly Rasmus Nicolaisen did. In the end, there weren't too many, there was only really one negative from Tuesday night, was the fact that the scoreline was 3-0. That was extremely flattering to a Southend team. And I think it was Andy Moon who said on Tuesday night that having them Waterloo will give them a good going. I couldn't disagree with that. You know, they really had nothing going forward. So it was kind of almost a game that existed in a vacuum. There was no pressure to it. Yeah. And we got the chance to play with a lot of freedom, a lot of, you know, experimental carte blanche, if you will.
It's those kind of games you want, you know, this kind of stage of the season as well, Ryan, isn't it? Where Pompey have had a slow start to the league campaign. That is, of course, Kenny's bread and butter, and that's where fans really expect the Blues to really push forward. But yeah, we know we spoke about how this game against Southend may have come at the wrong time, but as you just mentioned, where, you know, there was kind of no intensity behind it, no real expectation, no one really cared that much about it. The fact that we could go out there with a weakened squad, if you could put that in quote marks, and still get the victory in a decent performance as well, actually shows where we are at the moment and heading into tomorrow's game against MK Dons. You know, it is exactly what we needed. Now, before we do head to our first break of the show, and by the way, Pompey fans, if you're listening, if you've read on social media, we are trying to get Matt Corrick onto the phone lines as well. We're trying our very best. A few hiccups, but we're trying to get there. So, Matt, if you're listening, hold tight, mate. We'll try and get to you as soon as we can. Before we do head to that break, Ryan, I want to speak about Hadji Minogan. Now, he was my man of the match on Tuesday night by a clear margin, and I think he was yours as well. What a performance from young lad.
There's a lot of intensity to the man. He doesn't take any prisoners. There was a couple of times where someone tried to get stuck in with him, and they got fairly stuck into the floor a couple of seconds later. He is someone that, for his age, has a lot of physical prowess, both in his straight line speed and basically his toughness in a challenge. But there's also a mentality to there. There is a hunger to Hadji Minogue. The way he gets up and down that wing, he is willing to do both the forward work and the defensive work. There isn't him wanting to shirk either responsibility. The only thing I would say about him, and this was, you could hear Joe Gallen and Kenny Jackett addressing this during the game, was potentially tempering that youthful vigour into more efficient ways at times. Even at 3-0, 10 minutes left in the game, he's still bombing up and down the wing. He's still, you know, trying to put the game on his own back at times. I think that's where, with experience, certainly at high levels, he'll pick up that game management quality to his side as well. But certainly on a raw talent level, you can see that already there is a guy with a Football League future at the very least.
Yeah.
And yeah, he was a very commanding figure on the flank Tuesday. And as I said, once he gets more experience and learns how to manage his own, you know, game and his own performance, his own role better, you'll just see him come on leaps and bounds as he develops furthermore.
Yeah. Ryan, thank you. Stay where you are, mate. We'll be back with you in just a few moments' time. Don't forget, Pompey fans, as ever, back home, this is your chance to have your voices heard as well. Get involved with the discussion tonight here on the Football Hour by texting your name and message, starting with the word Express to 81400, or you can send in an email to pompey@expressfm.com, tweet using @expressfm, or comment on our Facebook page, that's facebook.com/PompeyLive. Don't forget to include your score predictions for tomorrow's game too. Pompey take on MK at Fratton Park. And the three of us will be previewing that match and going through your predictions later in the show. But not before we hear from the manager, Kenny Jackett, who will be featuring in the next part of the show. So to join us right after the break. We've got plenty more still to come right here on 93.7 Express FM. You're listening to the Friday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Good evening. Welcome back to part two of tonight's Football Hour here on Express FM, the only radio station from the great waterfront city. Proud to be passionately Pompey. Stagecoach across the south are proud sponsors of the show this season. Be sure to visit their website, stagecoach.co.uk, to find the latest information on fares, timetables and COVID guidelines. Okay, we're going to head to Matt Corrick. I believe we can hear from him now. Matt, how are you doing? We finally got you on the show.
Yeah, I'm great, Jake. Thanks.
Yeah, good. We were just speaking with Ryan in the first part of the show about Tuesday night's win over Southend in the EFL Trophy. And how about confidence may breed over into tomorrow's game against MK Dons? Do you agree with that aspect, or do you kind of feel that 10 changes against the League Two side in a competition where we're not really too bothered about? Do you think that actually the win over Burton is the only thing we should really be highlighting right now?
Oh, not at all. I think, obviously, as we all know, you know, any win breeds confidence through the team. And I think that's what we needed. Obviously, you know, we were short of goals and we weren't really looking great. And, you know, albeit, yes, it's a leaky Southend team that are looking in desperate trouble at the moment. But ultimately, I think it breeds confidence, you know, and especially into players like Ryan and Curtis who notched a double. So yeah, I think it's a positive thing still.
Yeah. I want to talk about now the central midfield position, of which this week has been rumoured Pompey are looking to strengthen, and to be honest, with the news that we have been seeing, Ben Thompson is a name, believe it or not, that the Blues have been inquiring about. Now, the latest on that is that Millwall don't want to get rid of Ben Thompson. They still see him as part of their plans, and the only way that he would leave the Den, is on a loan deal if they can get another central midfielder in. I want to ask you your thoughts on that, because Ben Thompson, a name who has been echoed around Fratton Park for the last season and a half, really, since he was recalled by Millwall back last January. Do you think there's anything in this? Of course, Pompey are going to want him, but actually the chances of actually getting his signature, is that something we are realistically going to see anytime soon?
I mean, it's a tough one. It's something that, as fans, we all want. Obviously, you know, we've seen the talent firsthand, and, you know, he continued that on when he went back to Millwall. I mean, personally, I think it's a tough one. I can understand Millwall's logic behind, you know, wanting to bring somebody else in, and they wouldn't want to let him go otherwise. Is that going to be possible? I'm not too sure, to be honest with you, but I'm definitely one that would obviously applaud the club for getting that over the line if it did happen.
Yeah, and Ryan Stillwell, I believe you're back in the chat now. Ryan? Hello.
Hello.
Hello to you. We've just been speaking about Ben Thompson and his chances of joining back up with the club, and the fact that Millwall would only really get rid of him if they can secure another signing in that position. Now, a player who fans have wanted back for a long, long time, yes, but in terms of do Pompey actually need a player in that position, what are your thoughts on that one? Because we saw on Tuesday night how Ben Close and Andy Cannon really knocking on the door for Kenny Jackett to allow them back into the starting 11 for future league matches. When we've got those two players who are bursting with energy and ready to go, is actually another central midfielder alongside Tom Naylor what we need right now?
It depends on what you're looking to have in each position in the game. Now that Gareth Evans has departed, how keen are you to switch your front three midfielders around? We have done so in the past couple of games, but normally when Andy Cannon's played for us, he's kind of played like a backup attacking midfielder. We are now banned from saying the number 10 after Joe Gallen's comments midweek about not liking it being called a number 10 or the concept of it. But if he's a backup attacking midfielder primarily, then that leaves you with three central midfielders of Tom Naylor, Bryn Morris and Ben Close. And again, I know there's been defence of him midweek. I'm still not seeing enough of a contribution from Bryn Morris. We went into further detail after the Burton game on Saturday that he was somewhat at fault for... He had a hand in both goals, actually, going in. And it's, again, it's not a scapegoat against him, because I could point to five players who've made massive mistakes for those goals, but I'm still not entirely sure if Bryn Morris is a guy we should be able to count on for 46 games through a congested season with associated trophy runs, cup runs, etc. By the end of it, we're going to be playing 50-odd games. Bryn Morris hasn't shown me personally enough to warrant his being in the side for, you know, five games, let alone 50. Yeah. Maybe the management sees differently, but right now I would say yes, we could do with another reinforcement in midfield. Certainly if Ben Close is going to be on the sideline a lot, then he's not necessarily going to be match fit. You need someone to come in and be there as well if he can't get up to the fight immediately. So I do think another central midfielder would be a wise procurement, and if it is Ben Thompson, then we know what he's capable of, and Millwall certainly know that as well. I can see why they don't want to let him go. They don't want to let a guy go that's essentially championship level, because Ben Thompson looked a class above when he played for us, and the class above League One is indeed the championship. So I can see why they're reluctant to let him go. And I can also see why Thompson has some reticence about leaving the club again, because he's literally a boyhood fan. Everyone wants to play for their boyhood team, and there will always be that element in your mind saying, I can force my way back into this team, I can prove myself to this club. So we'll have to see how this one plays out, but I do think that we would be wise to get one more in there.
Yeah. Okay, lads, thank you. We'll come back to you in just a few moments' time. We're going to hear now from the manager, Kelly Jackett, who shared his thoughts on Tuesday night's 3-0 EFL trophy victory in Southend after the final whistle.
So, Kenny, that was about as comfortable a win as you could hope for.
Yeah, it was. Scored some good goals, hopefully built some confidence. And for some of the players, you know, that have been just on the fringe or substitute, it's a good game early season for them as well. High-tempo game, one I think we played with a good attitude.
Looked like you started with a 3-4-3 formation. Just talk us through that one.
Yeah, it suited the players that we had. We have, obviously, Rasmus Nicolaisen here as well, who's a, you know, left centre back, and it gave us a look at him in that system. If you do play three at the back, it is good to have, you know, the left footer there as well as left back, which, you know, we haven't had since probably Matt Clark left, and you know, he's had 2 weeks training now and a game tonight, and I thought he played really well and looked strong in the air as well, and you know, we do think we'll do well for Portsmouth. So a lot of positives tonight in terms of the performances, and you know, very pleased with the attitude of the players. You know, second half in particular, we did get on top and had a lot of chances and could have scored more.
Yeah, with Rasmus, was this the perfect game to give him his debut and give him that test?
Yeah, and as I said, he's had 2 weeks training now and a game today, and he looks ready, and we've been pleased with him, very pleased with him. But in terms of the formation, we do think it's an option for us. There's a lot of our players that it suits. And you know, certain games where you may want to match up sides that play five at the back, or just give yourself a little option to be able to go to. It's good to work at it tonight with, you know, the whole squad. We left Jack Watmore out, he's fine. You know, Tom Naylor had an ankle injury last week, but he'll be fine for Saturday. So those two guys weren't here. But after that, we just wanted to try to, you know, use it as an exercise to work at the 3-4-3 system, and for everybody to be able to understand it. Should we go at it in the league? And you know, by the end, I was pleased, and do think at the right time it will be an option for us.
Hadji Manoga, every time we see him on the pitch, he shows what an exciting prospect he is.
Yeah, he got the penalty and had a couple of other chances on the far post from right back as well. And as you say, he is an exciting prospect. He's 18 years old and had a good game tonight, tired at the end, but still sort of pushed through. Some excellent crosses as well from, you know, from the right-hand side.
Obviously, it's not a competition that you say is a priority, but winning breeds confidence. And is this something that you can take into Saturday in the league?
Yeah, we think so. We think early season, you know, we want to get our squad going, we want to get our team confident, and they're important things. And for us, you know, at different times, over the last few years, we've used it for squad players, like we have today, you know, touch wood as well. We haven't got any injuries at the moment, which is good. And, you know, players are available, and, you know, as I said, Naylor and Watmore will be fit for Saturday. So it's left us strong tonight. There's other times, though, where, you know, we've put some young players out as well. And if, you know, if we can qualify early in the group stage, which I do believe we have, then, you know, it does give you the chance in the latter game then to be able to, you know, try the likes of Harry Kavanagh, Alfie Stanley, Jared Storey, Tegart, players like that are just underneath.
Bagatha there on the touchline at Roots Hall following the midweek win at Southend United. Speaking to Ollie Marsh from the Pompey media team in that interview. Going to go back to Ryan Stilwell and Matt Corrick in just a few moments' time. Pompey fans back home, thank you for bearing with us. We've had a few technical hiccups tonight, but we can get to some of your text tweets and emails coming into us tonight. Roger and Gosper, we're going to start off with you, sir. He says, well, what can I say? But the last performance was much better. I've heard a rumour that maybe Kenny Jackett is trying to get Ben Thompson back to Fratton Park. That, of course, was sent before the show, before we started discussing it. He then goes on to say, let's get a run going, keep the faith, Roger in Gosport. Roger, thank you very much for getting involved. Alan Swift says, good evening Jake and co. As it proved so effective on Tuesday, it's worth a try playing 3-5-3 against MK, playing the new Danish centre half. Of course, I predict a comfortable 3-4 win if Kenny makes this brave decision. We have the players to do it, plus with backup he could even bring in another player or two come the end of next week to expand the squad. It could even save his job come next May, says Alan and Salcy. Alan, thank you as always for getting involved with the conversation tonight. Like Alan, you can also get in touch with the team tonight. 81400 is the number to text. Start your messages with the word Express. You can also tweet us at ExpressFM on Twitter. Find us at facebook.com/PompeyLive or send an email to Pompey@ExpressFM.com. We're going to go on to Matt Corrick now and your thoughts on the John Marquis situation. And to be honest, I've defended him in previous weeks. I'll admit that the strikers, I think he's been on, I've been on the side of the fence. I feel sorry for him based on the lack of service he's been getting. However, on Tuesday night, he had plenty of chances to kill the game and spurned quite a few of them, scoring only from a penalty spot. Are we being too harsh with our criticism now, or is it clear to see why Kenny chose to opt for Ellis Harrison at Burton last week?
I think it's quite... harsh the criticism as such. I mean, all strikers, you know, I think will tell you that they have a bad patch, even probably through every season. You know, they have a difficult spell, goals, you know, dry up. And yeah, I mean, I think we're going to see, unfortunately, for a little while, maybe a lack of confidence in front of goal, but a simple thing like a penalty.
And scoring
that goal against Southend, you know, could spring him to light, and that's what I'm hoping for on a personal level. But I think, you know, obviously with the competition as well with Ellis Harrison, who's come in and been fantastic, and the physicality that he brings into the team, I think is such an outlet that we've got. But I think at the same time, it does come down to what you said as well, Jake, in terms of the service that's provided to John Marquis. Yeah. I don't think we play the right system for him. And I think he would actually probably be more complimented, has been proven already, to play alongside Ellis Harrison, in my opinion.
Another player we will highlight now, Ryan, is Cam Pring in that left-back position. Now, Kenny has opted for Lee Brown in a number of games this season. Cam Pring was brought back into the side on Tuesday night, and a player, if I'm being honest, Ryan, you know, we spoke about it on air as well, didn't have his greatest games. In fact, slipped up on a few occasions, changed his boots halfway through the match, and still never really got into the match. Okay, it was a match of which the performance on a whole was pretty decent, but, well, to be fair, Pompey never really got out of second gear to actually secure the victory. But speaking of Cam Pring and that left-back position heading into tomorrow's game against MK, they've got some big, powerful players in their team. Is this a game, again, for Lee Brown to be into that side?
I would argue that you would need a better defender in at fullback and a more composed defender. From what I've seen from Pring so far, he is more adventurous going forward, but I haven't seen him really marshal the left-back position yet. I've not seen him make it his own. Now, people have this perception of Lee Brown, and for sometimes what he can be limited in doing, there is over a decade's worth of really good defensive experience there.
Yeah.
And that's why he often gets the nod against the more experienced wingers that he'll come up against. And I can't really blame him for starting against Burton, in the sense that he had to face Lucas Akins. We know what Lucas Akins can do. He's always putting quite a good shift against Pompey, and he always seems to find the back of the net, albeit last week he found it in rather fortuitous circumstances. But I can totally understand why Lee Brown was selected to deal with Akins for 90 minutes and not Callum Pring. And as you said, Tuesday, Pring wasn't exactly there. I mean, he had this weird Milan Lukovic complex where he somehow didn't have the right boots on. And then after that, you look at the way that Haji Manoga was able to command his line, able to put fear in the hearts of the defenders when he was going at them, and then kind of hold off any challenges when he was on the defensive side of the ball. I didn't see Pring command his flank in such a way, because in that 3-4-3, they were alone out there. It wasn't like the attacking three had two wings in it. Williams and Kurtz were tucked so far inside, they were what you would call almost a central forward three. Those flanks belonged solely to Pring and Manoga, and only one of them completely dominated that flank. I think Pring may have missed a little opportunity there to stake his full claim to the starting left-back spot, or indeed that left-wing-back spot if we opt for the other formation as well. And what was interesting about that one, as we mentioned it on Tuesday, it drops to a flat five when we're in defence. So you do have a quite literally flat five at the back when we're off the ball. They do retreat and do the defensive work quite quickly. Pring, however, I noticed was a little bit slower getting back into position into that back five than Manoga was as well. And while he didn't shirk his defensive duties, against better teams, when you're not playing the worst team in England, and we've got three of them this month, we've got Doncaster, Sunderland, Charlton, against better teams, if you're not getting back into position straight away, the pace of those teams and the rate at which they can move the ball about, you will be punished for that. And I think if Jackett can see that on a Tuesday night against Southend, then he will be reluctant to play him against Doncaster, against Sunderland, which, you know, next week in the week after.
Yeah. Ryan, thank you very much, mate. That leads us very nicely into our final break of this evening's show, after which myself, Ryan and Matt will be looking deeper ahead to Pompey's clash with Milton Keynes. Keep those score predictions coming in, Blues fans. We've got some through to us already, which is great. So thank you to those who have sent them in already. But for those of you who haven't, you've got only 20 minutes to do so before it's too late. If you're not sure on how to get in touch by now, you can visit our website, expressfm.com, to find out how to reach us. Be sure to join us right after this short break, because we'll be looking closer at this week's opposition and concluding the show with a preview of tomorrow afternoon's match. So sit tight and don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with the conclusion of the Friday Football Hour here on 93.7 Express FM.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Good evening and welcome to the third and final part of tonight's Football Hour here on 93.7 Express FM, which has been sponsored this season by Stagecoach Across the South. OK, we're going to be looking closer to Pompey's game against Milton Keynes in a very short while, but I want to bring up the fact that there's been a petition going around the last week or so on social media and throughout the internet, really, and this is on the official Parliament website. This is to allow or get Parliament really to consider a debate for fans to be returned to football stadiums up and down the country at every single level. This is basically due to factors we've mentioned on recent shows about how you can do certain things, you can't do other things. But for some reason, football above the National League South and North levels, they're not allowing fans into stadiums yet. This petition has reached, at the moment, and this is a refreshed figure, this is 191,711 signatures. Now, Parliament only needs 100,000 signatures to consider it for a debate, and that reached that, I believe, yesterday or the day before. So, big news there, Matt, in regards to the fact that Parliament now have to consider that for a debate to allow fans back into football stadiums. And we're not just doing this for the love of a game. We're not just doing this so, you know, fans can have their day out at their local football club. This is actually more to save football clubs in the EFL. Now, I think the government has stressed in recent weeks that they expect the Premier League to bail out Football League clubs, but we just know that's not going to be the case, and we're going to see the likes of what has happened to Bury, what's happened to Macclesfield. That's going to continue happening over the next few months if something isn't sorted. So on a financial scale, football fans need to return pretty soon.
Yeah, no, they do. I've been to a lot of Bognor games this season, and you can see how much it benefits a club like that to have fans back in. And, you know, speaking to, you know, their media team, speaking to Robbie Blake as well, you know, it's quite evident that a club like that wouldn't survive without having fans back in. And obviously that's at that level, you know, once you move on to National League South, Conference, Premier, League Two, you know, all these clubs are going to struggle. And I think it's quite evident that you know, there is ways that we can get fans back into ground and still make it safe for people. I'm not talking about filling grounds, but, you know, for the survival of football, it's evident that we need fans back. And, you know, I'm certainly one to have signed the petition, and I'm certainly one that will be encouraging it to continue to happen, really, because, you know, seeing it firsthand this season, I think, you know, we've already had enough you know, sadness in football by losing Bury and Macclesfield already, you know, and it'd be even worse to continue seeing more teams fall into the trap of not being able to survive. So, yeah, I think this needs to happen pretty quickly as well.
We will keep you updated on the latest updates as opposed to what happens with that debate, whether or not fans will be allowed back into stadiums anytime soon. I don't know how it's going to pan out. We've had so many decisions over the last few months. Who knows what will happen? But as soon as we do find out, we'll let you know here on the Football Hour, on Pompey Live, or indeed our website, expressfm.com. OK, the Blues take on Milton Keynes in their next league fixture. We'll be reading out some of your score predictions very shortly. But not before we hear from Connor Mosley, who has a closer look now at this week's opposition.
After the midweek win over Southend United in the EFL Trophy, it's time now for the Blues to turn their attention back to life in League One. Pompey will be seeking a third consecutive victory in all competitions this weekend at the expense of the MK Dons.
Pompey Live, this week's opposition.
Within the last week, Kenny Jackett has guided his side to a first league win and also to a place in the knockout stages of the EFL Trophy, a competition in which the Blues have won 17 consecutive matches following Tuesday's success at Roots Hall. The confidence built from those recent achievements is expected to carry on over to this week's fixture. But what stands in the way of Pompey and making it a hat-trick of victories?
Manager.
The youngest manager currently holding the position in the EFL is Russell Martin, who's in charge of the MK Dons. The 34-year-old former Peterborough United and Norwich City defender began his playing career at Brighton and Hove Albion in 2003, where he had previously signed on as a youth prospect. As a player, Martin won promotion via second place in League One with Peterborough in 2009 and helped Norwich to a League One title, Championship runners-up position, and also a Championship playoff success too. The former Scottish international also enjoyed an automatic promotion from League Two with the MK Dons in 2019. Following the departure of former Exeter City boss Paul Tisdale at Stadium MK on the 2nd of November last year, the club appointed Russell Martin as a first-team manager, the defender's first-ever managerial role. A day later, Martin announced his retirement as a player to fully focus on his coaching duties. Since his instalment, Martin has secured a win percentage of 30%, having won 9 of his 30 competitive games in charge of the club.
One to watch.
It's become quite the common occurrence for ex-Pompey players to come back and haunt the Fratton faithful. MK forward option Joe Mason has proved since leaving PO4 that he is no exception to that frustrating curse. The 29-year-old, who wears the number 20 shirt for MK, began his career at Plymouth Argyle, playing for numerous youth sides between 2000 and 2009 before turning pro. He made 53 appearances, scoring 10 goals in the 2 years he spent as a senior player at Home Park. Mason then went on to play for many other clubs, including Cardiff City, Bolton Wanderers, Wolves, and Major League Soccer outfit Colorado Rapids. The striker is no stranger to playing for a franchise club, having spent the 2018 season on loan in the United States. It was at Fratton Park where Joe Mason had arguably the worst spell of his career, and while the Irishman has yet to score against the Blues following the conclusion of that forgettable loan period, he's caused a nuisance of himself and has put in very strong shifts when the two sides have met over the past two seasons, the most notable of which in Pompey's 3-1 defeat at Stadium MK on December the 29th.
Top scorer.
This accolade is currently split between Bailey Cargill, Daniel Harvey and the aforementioned Joe Mason. Each of these players has netted a goal each for MK so far in League One this season. If you were to take into account goals scored across the league, Carabao Cup and EFL Trophy, however, and this belongs to 20-year-old Jay Bird, who has 2 to his name. The forward only signed his first pro deal earlier this summer, and despite his brace against Stevenage in the EFL Trophy midweek, the club seemed adamant to want to secure the signing of a new striker prior to the closure of the domestic transfer window later this month.
Current form.
Like the Blues, MK Dons have played 4 matches in League One since it started in September. They have, however, failed to secure a victory as of yet. The Dons have just 2 points on the board following 2 draws either side of consecutive defeats to Lincoln City and Crewe Alexandra. They've enjoyed more success in the EFL Trophy, beating Northampton Town and Stevenage in their opening two fixtures to go top of their group. After the unweighted points per game was put in place last term, MK finished in 19th position, narrowly avoiding relegation back down to League Two. The last time these two sides met, it was Pompey who were on the wrong end of a 3-1 defeat at Stadium MK. Can Pompey continue their winning momentum, or will they come unstuck again on home turf? Find out and catch all of the unmissable action as it unfolds tomorrow afternoon from 2, right here on Pompey Live.
Connor Mosley there with a closer look at MK, who Pompey take on tomorrow afternoon at Fratton Park, match day 5 of the new League One campaign. An email from John Stubbington, who sent this in on Monday night prior to the Southend game. He's talking about the win at Burton. I didn't get the chance to read out his email. We were jam-packed on Monday evening, but I'm going to read it out tonight. He says, "One win against one of the worst teams we will face all season, and now so many people seem to think we've turned a corner. Well, we haven't. Until we've beaten the good sides, Jacket has to go. Get a better manager in and he could achieve something with this squad," says John from Stubbington. John, thank you for getting in touch. We've also got another one in from Dave Simmons, who says, "We have had previous runs of 10 or 11 undefeated and still not got promoted. So why would one win in 4 league games give us reason to be confident heading into the rest of the season?" says Dave Simmons on Facebook. And I want to speak to you, Ryan, about Pompey's chances tomorrow. We take on MK at Fratton Park. Now, of course, we had the performance from Tuesday night's win over Southend, but really speaking about the formation and the team used against Burton last time out in our last league fixture, can you see many changes from that game, or do you think that perhaps the likes of Nicolaisen, maybe Ronan Curtis, or maybe you think John Marquis needs to come back into the side? Do you think there need to be changes to the squad?
I think we may have to change the system. If you look at how Milton Keynes play, which we'll obviously delve a little bit more into as we preview the game,
yeah,
I think we may need to change the system and use the system that we used Tuesday night. I know we haven't fine-tuned it, but Milton Keynes, well, they are bottom, and there's a reason for that. Again, I'll get into more detail when we preview the game, but I think we need to use the system we used on Tuesday, and if you're going to use that, you need 3 centre-backs, and you need one of them to be a left-foot centre-back, because you need to be able to spray the ball in all directions with efficiency, with speed. So that'll have to bring in Nicolaisen into the game. And if you play the attacking 3, if you try and play that close-knit attacking 3 that runs at the defence, that tries to pull them apart, that tries to play through balls, this is where you actually start to see a more effective John Marquis, where he's got time on the ball, where he can get at defenders and make them worry, and he has chances with the goalkeeper. Missed a couple of really good chances on Tuesday, has to be said. One thing that can never be denied about Marquis is he needs quite a few chances before he nets one. But I think the system probably suits him because it means he's got more support around him. He can get onto the ball. He can equally receive more through balls as he plays them as well. I think it was his really lovely crossfield ball to Minoga that picked up the penalty that he scored in the end. Yeah. And I think he also may have set Williams through for a chance that he scraped past the post as well. So he certainly seemed more comfortable in that system, yes, against a very poor team. But I would say it's more tailor-made for him, yeah, than any of our other current forwards. So I would say potentially Nicolaisen, Marquis need to start. I mean, Curtis was also a hard runner, a hard worker Tuesday night. It's hard to shun your nose at that as well. So I would, again, see changes and potentially use that system for the first time in the league against a Milton Keynes team that not many teams have a playing style quite like them. It's not necessarily working, but they do have their own approach to the game.
Regular listener and tweeter Mockers on Twitter says, "I still think we are 2 strikers light at present to mount a real promotion challenge. The nature of Ellis Harrison's game, sorry, means that he'll pick up a few cards this season. Play at Pompey," says Mockers on Twitter. Matt, looking ahead to tomorrow's game against Milton Keynes at Fratton Park, then speaking about what I've been talking about with Ryan in regards to, do Pompey need to change things, looking back at last week's game at Burton, using that as a kind of reflection to talk upon. Do you think the changes need to be made? Do you think that it's time for Nicolaisen to come in and make his debut after a few shaky performances from Sean Raggett?
Yeah, 100%. I think Nicolaisen needs to come into the team. I mean, we've gone out and I mean, as a shock to me, we've picked up a great player that's got experience in European football as well as, you know, a level of Danish Premier League football as well. And, you know, he's a left-footed centre-back, as Kenny was explaining midweek, which I think we've definitely missed since Matt Clark going. And he seems to have a great range of passing out of defence, which is obviously a big part of football nowadays. And I think against teams like Milton Keynes that are certainly going to sit in a little bit, I think, you know, having someone that can spread the ball and pull them apart a little bit from the back, he's a great asset to the club, and I think we need to bring him in. And yeah, I mean, I wouldn't overly make too many changes from the Burton game too much. I think the lads went out and deserved to near enough continue to try and show that they're the guys that are going to bring these results in. Yeah. And certainly against a struggling MK Dons team as well.
We've got a tweet in from Gav Jones. He's got a score prediction. We'll get to that in a few moments' time when we read out the rest. He then goes on to say, speaking of getting fans back into stadiums, how many fans do you feel would be needed to make a significant impact financially? Would 1,000 fans in a test event really be enough to make a difference? Well, Gav, my opinion is to Pompey in the Blues kind of respect to that question, I don't think massively financially it's going to make much of a difference. I do think, from what we've heard from Mark Catlin and the owners in the last kind of few months or so, Pompey could survive if we do have to go through another few months of no supporters whatsoever. In regards to 1,000 fans at other stadiums across the country, no, I don't think it really will make too much of a difference. However, We don't know the financial kind of situation of Accrington, you know, of Rochdale, for example, teams at the top of my head who I think will be struggling at the moment. Maybe 1,000 fans could make the difference just to see them through this financial year. That remains to be seen. Unfortunately, we don't have a record for that. Ryan, your thoughts on that? Because, you know, as we say, Pompey could survive it, but teams lower down in the division into League Two as well, teams who don't get really the gate receipts for Pompey to get, may not be able to survive even on 1,000 fans.
It may potentially not if we have to do this for the entire season and heading into part of next season, but it may be somewhat a life support measure for a couple of months. There are teams in this league where essentially 1,000 fans is almost a third, almost a quarter of a team's average attendance. I'm probably thinking of teams like Accrington, for example. In fact, I'm just looking at it now. The average attendance is for the 1920 season. Obviously, it was curtailed. But there are four teams in League One whose average attendance for the 1920 season was below 4,000. Now, if you have 1,000 fans back in, that's already 25% of your regular match day income back into the coffer again. Again, it's not much, but it may keep you going just for a couple of months until the situation improves and we can begin to up that number a little bit more. But whereas 1,000 doesn't matter and make a big difference if you're Pompey at 18,000, yeah, when you're Accrington Stanley, their actual average attendance last season was 2,800. So Accrington, it's almost, you know, it's about a third, really. 1,000 fans, 33% of your money back straight away. That could just about get you over the line into a more permanent solution, i.e. more fans or a bailout comes into effect. So for some clubs in the league, it may actually make a big difference. And certainly, if you're looking again at League Two level, if you're looking at 1,000 fans going into League Two level, I think Morecambe's average attendance last year was 1,800. Yeah. So that's more than half their fans back at games. Yeah. That'll make a huge difference to them. So maybe not for Pompey, for Sunderland, Ipswich, for example, but there are certainly, I would say, at least 20, maybe 30 clubs in the Football League right now where if they had a chance at 1,000 fans every week, they would say, thank you very much. That might just keep us in the fight for
yeah,
a couple months longer.
Yeah. Geoff Taylor's got involved on Twitter. He says, surely Minogue and Nicolaisen will be involved against MK Dons. Hadji played well as a wing-back on Tuesday night, but as a right-sided centre-back and a back three with Watmore and Nicolaisen is where I could see him shine. Alex also then goes on to say that he can't see us switching to a 4-2-3-1 or switching out of a 4-2-3-1. He'd like to see Nicolaisen brought in for Raggett so we can have close in for Morris. He also goes on to say that he can't help but feel that Bryn Morris is only playing because Jacket does not trust the new centre-back partnership. Alex on Twitter, his thoughts ahead of tomorrow's game. And just quickly, Matt, before we do head on to the score predictions, Hadji Minogue, we've mentioned him previously in the show and about how He played well on Tuesday night against Southend United in the trophy. Is it time soon to see him involved within the first team frame in league matches?
Oh, definitely. Definitely for me. He's proven himself, I would say, at least maybe the last couple of seasons. We saw him in a couple of EFL trophy games last season, and there was a lot of hype about him, and he stepped in again. And I mean, he looked, I won't say completely different player, but he looks a little bit more completed. Yeah. He looks a bit more competitive. Looking back to that challenge at Southend midweek, if he can, pull that off throughout the season, I think we can see a bit more of him. Yeah. My main concern to it would be Kenny doesn't seem to have too much trust in younger players, especially when it comes to league games. But I think from what we've seen from him so far, yeah, I definitely feel he deserves a chance this season, especially in the first team and in league football.
Matt, thank you. We're going to get to some score predictions. We are slowly run out of time. Graham Wilkins is expecting a 2-0 win tomorrow. Gav Jones is going 3-0. And on Facebook, Becky Bennett says 4-0 wins Pompey. Very quickly, Ryan Stillwell, your score prediction, please.
3-1 Pompey.
3-1 Pompey, says Ryan. And what about you, Matt?
3-0 for me.
3-0, says Matt. Lads, thank you very much. I'm going to go with Ryan's prediction. I'm going to go for a 3-1 Pompey win. Actually, I had put that down before the show started. Lads, thank you very much. I am afraid that's just about all we've got time for tonight. My thanks go out to both Ryan Stillwell and Matt Corrick for joining me over the phone this evening, as well as all of you back home for tuning in and getting in touch through the text, tweets, and of course the emails too. Once again, thanks to Stage Church across the South for supporting the show this season. All right then, coming up for you this evening, Hipshaker is here from 9 through to 11 with 2 hours of the greatest 60s soul, R&B and beat music. And then we've got Non-Stop Express hits through till 8 a.m. tomorrow when Ian McGuinness takes over for Saturday Breakfast. Lily Park then returns at 11 after a week off. She'll be back with the usual Saturday fun, the Tiny Quiz, tons of great hits and of course some weekend bangers in there too. But none of that before Express Floor Fillers with Mason Jordan, which follows the news at 7. Be sure to stay tuned and keep it 93.7 tomorrow for the next instalment of Pompey Live. The Blues return to league action tomorrow afternoon at Fratton Park, where they welcome Milton Keynes in match day 5 of the new league campaign. Can Kenny Jackett lead his side to a third win in just 7 days? Find out and catch all of the unmissable action tomorrow afternoon from 2. And also keep your eyes peeled to our website, expressfm.com. We've got a brand new lineup of shows coming your way next week, and it all starts on Monday. The likes of Lulu Whitmore and James Percy will soon be joining the team. I, for one, am looking forward to finding out what they can bring. But until next time, Pompey fans, thanks again for tuning in tonight. Have a great evening, whatever you're doing. Enjoy your weekend, stay safe, and play up Pompey. Good night.